Welcome back, everybody, to The Deep Dive. This time, we're taking a deep dive into the world of injection molding tool life.
A critical topic.
It really is.
Yeah.
Especially for anyone out there involved in manufacturing, we've got a whole bunch of great sources lined up. Expert advice, practical tips, and even a few, you know, cautionary tales.
Oh, yeah. Good at those.
Yeah, you gotta learn from others' mistakes, right?
For sure.
Our mission today is to really give you a solid grasp of what tool life is all about, how it affects your production, and some actionable things you can start doing right away to make those tools last longer.
Love it.
So before we jump into all those exciting strategies, let's take a step back. What do we actually mean by tool life in the injection molding world? I mean, we throw that term around a lot, but
yeah, it can be a bit vague.
It can.
In the simplest terms, tool life boils down to how long your injection molding components, your molds, screws, those essential parts, can keep running before you need to call in the repair team or replace them entirely.
Makes sense. So it's all about durability, right?
Yeah, exactly. And understanding this is really the cornerstone of efficient and cost-effective manufacturing. You don't want those surprise breakdowns in the middle of a big production run.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
So what actually determines how long these tools last? I mean, it can't just be a random number, right?
Definitely not random. There are actually a whole bunch of factors at play here, some more obvious than others. But let's start with the heart of it all. The mold itself, the material it's made from, is a huge factor.
Okay, so the material of the mold itself.
Exactly. Imagine you're building a house. You wouldn't use cardboard, would you? You'd want something strong and durable. Same principle applies to your molds.
Right, something robust.
Yep. And when it comes to molds, high-quality mold steel, like P20 steel, is the gold standard. These molds can run for an incredible 500,000 to over a million cycles.
A million cycles?
A million. Now, compare that to molds made from ordinary steel, which might only last for, say, 100,000 to 300,000 cycles.
Wow. So choosing the right material can literally double or even triple the lifespan of your mold.
Precisely.
That's huge. I mean, think of the cost savings over time.
Absolutely.
But I'm guessing the material isn't the only thing that impacts how long a mold lasts, right?
You're absolutely right. The design of the product you're molding also plays a major role. Intricate designs, especially those with thin walls, can really put a strain on the mold.
Strain on the mold? How so?
Well, think of it like peeling a delicate pastry out of a mold. You need more force, and over time, that can damage the mold.
I see. So those intricate designs, they create more friction, more stress during the demolding process.
Exactly. That extra wear and tear can reduce the mold's life by a significant amount, maybe 30% to 50%, sometimes even more.
Okay. So it's not just about the material. It's also about designing for durability from the get-go. What about the injection molding process itself? Do the machine settings have any impact on tool life?
Oh, absolutely. The settings are crucial.
How so? Give me an example.
Well, let's take injection pressure. You might think that higher pressure equals faster production, right?
Yeah, you'd think so. More pressure, get it done faster.
But you're also putting a lot of stress on the mold. Every bump in pressure increases the risk of deformation or even cracks.
Oh, I see. So it's almost like you're pushing the mold to its breaking point.
Exactly. And then there's injection speed. Too much speed can cause what we call scouring. It's basically excessive wear and tear on the mold surface.
The speed is factor too.
Big time. And it can actually reduce the mold's lifespan significantly.
This is fascinating. I never realized how many different factors come into play. It really makes you think about the whole process differently. So we've got the mold material, the design of the product, and the process parameters. But what about the plastic itself? Does that have any effect on tool life?
You bet it does. Some plastics are just more abrasive than others, meaning they can wear down the mold surface much faster.
Oh, interesting. So the type of plastic matters too.
It sure does. Think about plastics with fillers, like glass fibers. Those are particularly tough on molds, like sandpaper rubbing against the surface. They can actually reduce the mold's lifespan by up to 60% compared to using standard plastics.
60%. That's a massive difference.
It is. So yeah, material choice is super important.
Okay, so we've got the mold material, the product design, the settings on the machine, and now the type of plastic we're using, all affecting the mold's lifespan. That's a lot to consider. But there's more to the injection molding machine than just the mold, right? What about the screw? That must be under a lot of stress too.
Oh, absolutely. The screw is another workhorse in the injection molding process. And just like the mold, its lifespan depends on a bunch of factors.
I bet. So give me the rundown. What are the big things that affect screw life?
Well, plastic material is a big one, just like we talked about with the mold. Some plastics can actually release corrosive gases when they're heated up, and those gases can eat away at the screw's material over time.
Wow, so it's not just friction and wear and tear we're talking about, but also potential chemical reactions happening inside the machine.
Exactly. It's like acid slowly dissolving metal. We've seen cases where certain plastics, particularly those containing chlorine, have really shortened the lifespan of a screw because of that corrosion factor.
So choosing compatible materials is key for both the mold and the screw. It's like a delicate dance finding the right combination.
It really is. And it's not just about the materials themselves. The working temperature and pressure of the machine also play a huge role in how long that screw lasts.
Okay, so temperature and pressure. Why is that?
Think of it like pushing your car engine to its limit all the time. If you're constantly redlining, it's going to wear out much faster. Same idea with the screw. Running the machine at higher temperatures and pressures than what's recommended can shorten the screw's life significantly, 30% to 50%, sometimes even more.
Got it. So it's about finding that balance between pushing for production and not overworking the equipment.
Exactly. You want to be efficient, but also mindful of the long-term health of your tools. And then, of course, there's the screw speed.
Screw speed, right. So how does that factor in?
Well, just like with the mold, higher screw speeds mean more wear and tear. It's simple physics, really.
So slower is better for the screw's longevity.
Generally speaking, yes. It's about finding that sweet spot where you're getting the output you need without pushing the screw too hard.
Okay, so we got plastic material, temperature, pressure, and screw speed all influencing the screw's lifespan. But given all these variables, what kind of lifespan can we realistically expect for a screw? Like, what's a good ballpark range?
Well, under normal operating conditions, with regular maintenance and good quality materials, you can expect a screw to last anywhere from 1 to 3 years.
1 to 3 years, okay.
And if you're really on top of things with best practices and top-notch materials, you might even squeeze out 5 years. But here's the kicker. In harsh conditions, like dealing with super abrasive plastics, high temperatures, and constant pressure, that screw might only last a few months.
Wow, a few months versus 5 years. That's a huge difference.
It is, and it really highlights how important it is to understand these factors and take steps to protect your equipment.
Makes total sense. We've covered molds and screws in detail, but what about those other tools involved in the process? Things like ejector pins and sliders. Those seem pretty important too.
Oh, they definitely are. Those smaller components play a crucial role. Ejector pins, for example, are responsible for pushing the molded parts out of the mold after they've cooled. But if you have a really complex product design with intricate features, those ejector pins have to work extra hard.
Right, so those intricate designs come back to haunt us.
They can. That extra stress and strain can lead to bending or breakage. We've seen cases where pins just give out after a few tens of thousands of injections simply because the design was too demanding.
So design complexity strikes again, like a domino effect. It impacts not just the mold, but also these smaller components. What about sliders? What's the story with those?
Sliders are essential for creating those features you just can't achieve with a straight pull from the mold, and their lifespan really boils down to one thing: lubrication.
Lubrication. Okay, so keeping them greased up.
Exactly. Proper lubrication is absolutely crucial for sliders. It keeps them moving smoothly and prevents excessive wear and tear.
So it's like giving your tools a spa treatment, making sure they're relaxed and ready to perform.
That's a great way to put it. With good lubrication, sliders can handle hundreds of thousands of cycles without breaking a sweat. But if lubrication is lacking, be prepared for early failures and a lot of headaches.
So it's like keeping your car engine running smoothly with regular oil changes. A little preventative care goes a long way. This is all incredibly helpful, but I imagine our listeners might be wondering, how can they actually estimate the lifespan of their molds given their specific situation? Is there a way to kind of calculate that?
That's a great question. And the good news is that we can use all the information we've been talking about to get a pretty good estimate. It's like putting together a puzzle using all these pieces of information.
Okay, so let's break down this puzzle. What's the first piece we should look at?
Let's start with the material, that foundation we talked about. Remember how we said P20 steel has an amazing lifespan of 500,000 to a million cycles?
Yeah, that was impressive.
Right. Well, that sets a much higher bar than ordinary steel, which might only last 100,000 to 300,000 cycles.
Yeah.
So, knowing your material is step one.
Exactly. You've got to have the right base, right?
Right, the choose the right ingredients analogy. So, material quality, step one. What else should we be factoring in?
Next up, you've got to consider design complexity. The more complex the design, the more stress and friction you're going to see during molding.
And that means?
Well, potentially shorter lifespan. Remember we talked about those thin-walled plastic shells earlier?
Yeah, those intricate ones.
Those kinds of designs can lead to, a 30% to 50% reduction in mold life compared to simpler designs.
Wow, that's significant. So it's a balancing act, right? Trying to create those visually appealing designs while making sure the molds can actually handle the complexity.
It is. It is. It's a challenge, but a fun one.
Definitely.
So we've got material, design. What else are we missing in our mold life calculation?
Don't forget about those process parameters.
You mean like the injection pressure and speed we talked about earlier?
Exactly. Those play a big role. We already touched on how cranking up the pressure or going too fast can damage the mold. Even a small increase in pressure, say 10 MPa, can bump up the risk of damage by 15% to 20%.
It's easy to get caught up in trying to speed things up and boost output, but we can't forget about the impact on the tools themselves.
No, you can't. Got to think long term.
Absolutely. And speaking of things that impact the tools, we can't leave out the characteristics of the plastic itself, right?
Absolutely not. Remember our conversation about those abrasive plastics?
The ones with the fillers.
Yep, especially those with fillers like glass fibers. They can really wear down a mold surface. We're talking potentially shortening the lifespan by up to 60%.
Okay, so to recap, we've got material, design, process parameters, and the type of plastic all influencing the mold's lifespan. That's a lot to keep in mind. But now that we've got a handle on all these factors, what can we actually do to make those tools last longer? Are there any best practices we can put into action?
There are tons. And the great thing is, a lot of them are pretty straightforward. For molds, it all starts with, you guessed it, selecting the right materials. We've already sung the praises of high-quality mold steel like P20, so I won't go on and on about it.
Right. Starting with a strong foundation. But what about the design itself? Any tips for making those intricate designs a little more mold-friendly?
Great question. And this really highlights how important it is to have designers and engineers working closely together. Sometimes even small tweaks to the design, like slightly increasing wall thickness or adjusting a corner radius, can have a huge impact on mold durability.
So it's a team effort. Designers bring the creative vision, and engineers make sure those designs can actually be produced efficiently and with longevity in mind.
Exactly. It's all about collaboration. And of course, we can't forget about those process parameters. We've got to monitor and control injection speed and pressure carefully. That can significantly extend the life of your molds.
But wouldn't reducing the screw speed also decrease production output? No. How do we find that balance?
That's where optimization comes in. It's all about finding that sweet spot where you're getting the desired output without pushing the tools too hard.
And sometimes that involves a little bit of experimentation, right?
Yeah, for sure, a little trial and error. But remember, even a small reduction in speed can make a big difference in terms of wear and tear.
Okay, so we've got molds covered. What about those hardworking screws? Any tips for keeping them in tip-top shape?
Regular maintenance. Can't emphasize that enough. Frequent inspections can help you catch those early signs of wear and tear or corrosion before they turn into major problems. It's like taking your car in for regular checkups.
Preventative care. Makes sense. Any specific things we should look for during those inspections?
Oh, absolutely. Keep an eye out for any wear and tear on the screw surface, like grooves or scratches. Pay attention to the condition of the non-return valve, too. If it's not sealing properly, that can cause problems.
So it's not just about looking at the screw itself, but also how it's interacting with other parts of the system.
Everything's connected. And speaking of connections, remember our conversation about screw speed and wear. Reducing the screw speed from a high range of, say, 200, 250 RPM down to a more moderate 100, 150 can reduce wear by a whopping 60%.
60%? Just from slowing things down a bit. That's incredible.
It is. Little adjustments can make a big difference.
Okay, any quick tips for our other friends? The ejector pins and sliders.
For ejector pins, it's all about using high-quality materials and applying the right surface treatments. And for sliders, can't say it enough, lubrication is key. Make sure those sliders are well lubricated for smooth movement and a longer lifespan.
So lubrication is like a spa day for our sliders, keeping them relaxed and ready to perform at their best. But let's be real, at the end of the day, this isn't just about making these tools last longer. It's about saving money, running a more efficient operation.
You hit the nail on the head. Extending tool life is a smart business move, plain and simple. Think about it. Every time a tool wears out prematurely, you've got to replace it, and those costs can really add up.
Right. Replacing a mold can cost thousands of dollars.
Exactly. Plus, there's the downtime involved in replacing or repairing tools. Production stops, deadlines get missed, everyone's stressed. Not a good situation.
No, not at all. And we can't forget about the potential impact on product quality.
Oh, absolutely. Worn out tools often mean defective parts, and that can really damage your brand's reputation and lead to unhappy customers. Nobody wants that.
Okay, so those costs can really snowball when you consider all the different factors. Just to give our listeners a sense of scale, can you break down the potential costs of replacing different tools? Like, what are we talking about in terms of actual dollars?
Sure. Let's start with the big one, the injection mold itself. Replacing a mold can set you back anywhere from, say, $5,000 to $20,000, depending on the size and complexity.
Wow, that's not insignificant.
No, it's a big investment. Replacing the injection molding machine screw is usually a bit less expensive, but it's still a considerable cost, probably somewhere between $2,000 and $10,000 for a new one.
Okay, still not chump change. What about those smaller components, like the ejector pins?
Those are typically the least expensive to replace, ranging from maybe $500 to $2,500. But remember, even those smaller costs can add up over time, especially if you're dealing with frequent replacements.
So the takeaway is clear. Extending tool life isn't just a nice to have, it's a smart business decision. It saves money and prevents headaches in the long run. But before we move on, any parting words of wisdom to really hammer this point home?
The key takeaway, I think, is that investing in those cost-saving strategies we've been talking about, regular maintenance, choosing high-quality materials, training your operators properly, all of that will pay off in the long run.
Absolutely. It's all about being proactive and taking care of your equipment.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, I think we've covered a ton of ground today on this whole world of injection molding tool life. From understanding the factors that influence it, to exploring practical ways to extend it, I hope our listeners are feeling more confident and ready to take charge of their production processes. But before we wrap things up for today, I want to leave you with a little challenge.
Oh, a challenge. I love it.
I want you to think about your own manufacturing setup, your own processes. What's one change, big or small, that you can make today to improve your tool life?
Ooh, I like that.
Maybe it's switching to a higher quality mold steel, you know, like that P20 we talked about.
Yeah, P20.
Or maybe tweaking those injection parameters, even just a little bit. Or maybe it's something as simple as being more consistent with your maintenance schedule.
All great ideas.
The point is, even those small changes can make a difference over time.
They really can. It makes me think, we've talked a lot about existing setups, but what about those who are designing new products? Like, what can they do from the get-go to design for longevity? Minimize that wear and tear on the mold.
That's a great point. Building those efficiencies in right from the start.
Exactly. If you can design a product that's easier on the tooling, you're already ahead of the game.
For sure. So it's about taking that holistic view, thinking ahead, making smart choices that'll pay off down the line.
Absolutely. And that often means designers and engineers working hand in hand, you know, finding that sweet spot where creativity meets practicality.
Love that. Plenty of food for thought for our listeners. But before we wrap up completely, I wanted to touch on one more thing. We've talked a lot about the technical side of tool life, but I think we need to emphasize the human element as well.
Oh, 100%. We can't forget about the people running the machines. All the best materials and processes in the world won't matter if you don't have skilled operators.
Exactly. Operator training and skill are huge factors in maximizing tool life. A well-trained operator, they understand the process, they spot problems early, and they can make those little adjustments that can really make a difference.
It's like a skilled chef.
Right.
Oh, I like that analogy.
You give a skilled chef the same ingredients, they can create a culinary masterpiece. Someone with less experience might burn the dish.
Right. Same ingredients, different outcome. So it's really about understanding the tools, the techniques, all the little details.
Spotting those subtle signs, knowing when things are going well or not so well.
Exactly. So investing in operator training, that's just as important as investing in high quality materials and equipment. It's all part of that holistic approach.
Couldn't agree more. Well said.
Well, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive into the fascinating world of injection molding tool life.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It really does. We've covered a lot, the key factors, practical strategies for extending tool life. But most importantly, I hope we've shown that it's not just about the tools themselves. It's about that big picture thinking, you know, material selection, design, optimizing the process, and of course, having those skilled operators.
It's all connected.
It really is.
And remember, even small improvements can have a big impact over time. Take what you've learned, put it into action. Your tools will thank you, your bottom line will thank you, and you'll probably sleep a little better at night.
Absolutely. It's all about taking action. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into injection molding tool life. And until next time, happy molding.